Zechinu liyos bonov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We merited to be the sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Baruch Hashem.
Tafkideinu liyos hashagririm v'mayetzigim shel Hashem b'kol ha'olam kulo. We are the ambassadors and the representatives of Hashem in the whole world. V'nei kasher beis hamikdash amad al tiloi. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, when it was the projector, the light that lit up the whole world. That the guy that will come from a far land, that's not a Jew, Ulomiklal Israel. Leman, that's a weird word. It's double Leman. Shimcha, I don't know, it's a bit of a printing error. What do you have there? Huh? Yeah, no, it's a stickle of printing thing. Okay, Leman Shimcha. Ki yishmun es shmecha ha-godol ves yodecha ha-chazoka v'zeruah natua. They'll hear about all your great strength and the strength of your hand and whatever. And he'll come and he'll daven in this place. And you'll do whatever the Nochri wants. You'll answer him. So the goyim will learn to know your name and to fear you the way Klal Yisrael does. And the goyim will know that your name is on this house that you have built. To cut a long story short, Shlomo Melech David, when the goyim comes to daven at the Beis HaMikdash, shall be answered, because that will be a Kiddush Hashem. The goyim will then know that this is Hashem. This is Hashem. By the way, if you ever go to the coastal, you'll see lots of Japanese there. Japanese coming busloads to the coastal. They have this Masoira. The Japanese have this Masoira. That you go daven there, you'll be answered. They come there in the droves. Droves, busloads, every day with the cameras. Each one's got like three cameras. and they come and they stand at the coastal. They stand at the coastal. Don't know what they're davening for. Don't know what they're davening for. Always wanted to ask one of them. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just to know what they're davening for. Sushi.
Yen is as strong as it is.
They have expensive eating habits, the Japanese.
When I go to Africa, they don't get eaten by lions.
What? No, I'm talking about blue tuna, bluefin tuna. That's probably the most expensive auction in the world. They have a daily fish auction, bluefin tuna. A bluefin tuna can go for $200,000. Yeah, it's unbelievable. They have this fish, I don't know what it's called. It's a puffer fish or something. It puffs up, it's highly poisonous. And there's mumchim, the mumchim chef that know how to extract the poison from this. And it's like cost fortune, thousands of dollars, like for a plate. Yeah, and if the guy gets it wrong, you know, gosh. Highly poisonous, one of the most poison venoms in the world. That's what they eat. Okay. So they got what to daven for. But the puffer fish shouldn't get to me. But the vote is, when you have a Beis HaMikdash, as the Beis HaMikdash does the job. Everybody comes to Eretz Yisrael and sees the Kiddush Hashem. Kachi ha-matzav kashe ha-bayis omad al-mokhoyne. Eina avi mayu nusoyis al-har-bayis Hashem. Vadova ha-ibi le-Kiddush Hashem shemayim godol bo-ilam kuro. It's an enormous Kiddush Hashem and the whole world's looking and seeing the miracles and seeing Klal Yisrael the way we're supposed to be. Ulam the Doven Leib, lo zachinu be-Beis HaMikdash nechrav. As we know, we didn't merit, and the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. So now, where does the Kiddush Hashem come from? Mikan ve'elech hutel aleinu tafkid chadash. Now there's a new tafkid. Letzeit legalus lefarsim legalot lefarsim esimunis Hashem b'kol oilam. B'kol pina nidochas. Now we have to go out. The Mikdash Ma'at has to now go out, and we mekadesh Hashem Shemayim and call in every corner of the world. Va'amnam ha'yudim yigil l'kol kotzvei tevel v'prisomei simunis Hashem bo'ilam. Yidden went everywhere in the world, and v'makad Hashem shemayim, wherever they went. Ulam yesh l'dash she'pirsim gil l'kover Hashem bo'ilam enu lo rak l'rechov, ela gam l'omek. It's not just, we'll see what it means now, it's not just a broad giloi, it also has to be a deep giloi. Tafkidenu l'galot tefasim esimun Hashem gam b'makoymes ha'shveilim v'amenuchim b'yaisa. We have to go into the lowest places to Mamakad Hashem Shemayim. Mekoymes ha'nedorim kimat legamre es or Hashem. The places where there's no light of Hashem anymore. And we have to go down there and be Mamakad Hashem Shemayim. B'kach anu yoitzkim es ha'yosoides lebaneinu ha'mechudesh shel beis ha'migdash ha'shlishi. We're thereby building the foundations of by Shlishi, the third, that's the third base of Hamikdash is going to be built on those Yesoidus of when you go into the worst place in Mekad Hashem Shemayim. Obviously, you're not allowed to do that on purpose. You know, but that was what Shabtai Tzvi did. He went into the worst places and he never got out. The person has to go where he gets sent. But people in Mekad Hashem Shemayim in Auschwitz and people in Mekad Hashem Shemayim in the worst possible scenarios. He has a gorgeous story. He was once sidetracked on a flight and he found himself in Bangkok on Shabbos. Shabbos in Bangkok in a hotel. They put him up in a hotel. Well, now what do you do? So he bought some fruit and vegetables or whatever for Shabbos. You can't eat anything.
How long ago?
How long ago did it happen to him? I heard the story, I don't know. How long ago? 20 years ago? I don't know. Those are heavy duty. Anyway, and I don't know if you've ever been. I've been to Bangkok. You can cut the tumor with a knife. It's one of the most tumidica places you've ever been. You can smell the tumor in the air. You've been there? It's disgusting.
I was there for three, four days.
The most disgusting place I've ever been. Besides the weather, but anyway. So he says, what do? He said, I'm the only person here that cares about you. There's no one else in this hotel keeping Shabbos. No one else cares about you. I'll do it. I'll be the one. He said, he went to the mikveh at like 2 o'clock in the morning, the swimming pool. There was no one there because you can't go to the swimming pool in the time of the day. He says, he toiveled in the mikveh. He went and he locked himself in his room the whole Shabbos. And he had fruit and vegetables. He had a bit of wine. I think he had in his bag. He made kiddush. Spent the whole Shabbos with Hashem. You're going to the lowest places. What am I doing in this galus? Why do I have to be here? I didn't choose to be there. What do you need me here for, Hashem? Why am I here? That's where you have to be Mekad Hashem Shemayim. That's where, who knows what the Cheshboyin is. You had to be there 4 days on business. You said Shema, you daven, you did mitzvahs. Why? Because that's what Hashem decided. You need to be Mekad Hashem something there. Sad, but I'm just saying, you need to look out of something in that mokumatuma. And that's what Klal Yisrael's been throughout the entire goddess, where you see where Yidden have been, Burma. The Yidden were in Burma. My son-in-law's descended from Burmese Jews.
My parents are born in India.
India, yeah, all over, but in who knows where. There were Yidden in Shanghai as well. There were Yidden in China. When the Mir Yeshiva got there, someone had built a shul. Someone had gone and built a shul for them. It was a Sassoon. It was one of the Sassoons also.
He put up what was at the time also the world's tallest building in Shanghai.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that it was a Sassoon.
He built a hotel as well.
He himself doesn't know why he built that shul there where he built it and why he put so many seats in it or whatever. You could have asked him. He wouldn't have known why he did it. It was the most ridiculous thing to do. No one lived there. When the Mir Shiva came, there were 632 shtenders in that base Midrash. And guess how many Bochrim there were in the Yeshiva? 632. Yeah. So he had to go there first and make money and do what he had to do. Fine. So we don't have a Beis Hamikdash anymore to Mekad Hashem Shemayim. So we become the little spotlights. The Beis Hamikdash was a big, massive light, and each person has to go now. Kedai lahavin zois nitaim etzia shchicha kachmoshel. Kabla nashri kona binyan ben eser komot b'Manhattan. Bought a little building in Manhattan. It was only 10 floors. In Manhattan, 10 floors is like a condominium. It's like a private, like a villa. 10 stories in Manhattan, you know, this is exactly a building. Anyway, the petes man katzal acha knir, upenez daire abinyan, vevi kelim umechonot b'matara laharos oto ad hayesod. After a while, what does he do? He gets all the people living there, he gets them out of the building, and he comes with bulldozers and he knocks down the building. You buy a building in Manhattan, he knocks it down. Not only was he Meshugan, he went and knocked down the building. He comes there with bulldozers, whatever, he tells the guys, dig a big hole. Meshugan, you had a 10-story building, now you're digging a pit. What are you building here? You're Meshugan? Meat after meat, Vakoba Matare, Tsok, Yosoda, Samukos, will be nice, Pomokam, Koymes, Tatkar Koit. Why is he doing this? Because 10 stories in Manhattan is a little shave. He wants to build 50 stories. You need to build 50 stories, you have to go very deep. You've got to dig deep foundations. Ovashan Avatama, Madua Hose Sabinian Akoide, Vareuya Chazak, Yofi, Vishmu Shimod. What are you going to destroy it for? You had a beautiful, nice 10-story building that is strong. Onulo, Boinim Khan, Binyan Khadash, Ben Shmonim Komot, sorry. 80 stories. We're going to build an 80-story building here. He says, I understand, good, so you had 10 stories, you want to build 80, so build 72. Everybody knows 70, you want to get to 80, 70. What about the basement? Why are you destroying it? You could have built another 70 komot and you'll have 80 komot. He doesn't know that the foundations for a 10-story building are how deep? I don't know, let's say 100 meters. No, you put 80 stories on there, the thing will collapse. You want to put up an 80-story building, you've got to go 500 meters down. This guy still, he thinks he doesn't understand. You explain everything to Olomivin? Why don't you just buy an empty piece of ground? Why buy a piece of ground where there's a building and spend all that money to knock the building down? And build there your 80 komot. Saviva, Yeshnim Shtachim Rekim Labim. There's plenty open, right? I don't know where this is, plenty, whatever. There's a few open spaces in Manhattan. Why don't you go build there? But do I can eat a binyan kind of America Zaheva Rastoto? Go to the outskirts and build there. Azubi Duka Siva on our Kabla. The builder says that's exactly why. Animo and Yan live not at Goyded Haskim Khan. America Zaheva. I don't want to build a building on the outskirts of the city. I want to be mamish in the middle, in Times Square. That's where the business is. That's where it's worth investing. Yeah, for sure I'll be able to get my money back. Yeah, I can sell off and rent off in the minute the building's up. It's sold already. Out in the periphery, what will I get for that? Make much more profit. Moshul mi moshul ze anoloim dim shedavka haros v'achul ben amukim megalim ki kan oimid livnot binyan gadol v'guvur yoisa. When you walk past the building site and they're busy breaking down and knocking and digging, that tells you there's something big coming here. Kedar to invest here. Chuben yadut yiroi penire la'ine bosa ke chuben she'en lo tachlis chas v'chila. If you look at the Holocaust, and everybody here has grappled with the Holocaust, and he's still grappling with the Holocaust, but it seems to have been something that had no toilet, no purpose. Over a million children, 6 million yid in the torture, the soul of Lama, Ma Makorepo, who needs this? Hunira Keheres Ali Yasod, total destruction, complete horror. Amna Magoin Rebel Cholan Vassaman Hashem Yokum Dov of Omadvorim Shonim Ragim, Moatim Lifnei Shaola Lamizbeh Koilet Tmino. Rebbe Chanan, as everybody here knows, wrote about the Holocaust before the Holocaust. Rebbe Chanan was in America just before the war broke out, and they begged him to stay, and he said, I'm going back. He had Talmidim, he went back, and he left Reb Simcha Yan, and he went back, and we know, he was martyred in the Kovna Ghetto. But he wrote a book called Ikfas Ed HaMashicha, where he describes in prophetic detail, most of it is based on what he heard from his Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim, what was about to happen. He knew when he went back to, he knew what he was going back to. He described the Holocaust in intricate detail before it happened. And there were people that were with him just before, Rebbetzin Volpi. Volpi's Rebbetzin was there, and she saw him being taken away. She saw him taken away by the Nazis when they came in. He was giving a shir in Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, interesting stories what happened there. They waited for him to finish a shir before they took him. That's what she described. She was the sister of the Torah of Rome, who was also martyred in the Kovna Ghetto, together with Rabbi Chanan. As Advarim Shmaiti mipi Adria, this he says I heard from someone who was there. Mina Yechidim Shinitzloi, Harav Oishri Zatzal, the Rav Oishri, the Chatzarich Rav Rochem, Yatzota Brit, he escaped and he landed up in America. And Tabi said, I heard this from him, he was there. Kiyadur Rabbochana Yaynaise Midei Pam, Lasof Ksafim Medevim Am Letoivis Yeshiva. Rabbochana used to travel to raise money for the Yeshiva. The Baba Chronan Shishal Batzota Brit, they begged him to stay. He refused to leave his flock. He went back to Baranovich, he went back to his Talmidim. And it's obvious he knew what was happening. He knew he was going home to be Mekad Hashem Shemaim. He knew he was going to Dalski Vishashem. He wanted to be from the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Boisit Tchufa Naira Shel Ashoh Lomad Rabbi Chonin in Talmidim Ves Hilchus Kiddush Hashem. He learned Hilchus Kiddush Hashem. If you're going to Dalski Kiddush Hashem, you need to know the Lachos. Yeah? You're going to eat cheesecake on Shavuos, you need to learn the Lachos about eating cheesecake. You're going to Dalski Kiddush Hashem, you have to learn the Lachos about the Dalski Kiddush Hashem. How to make the Brocha, when to make the Brocha. There's all dinim. כשכולם מכינים את עצמם בסילוידין רגלג הקידיש שבו, הקודש שבו, ימסו לזנב שם על קידיש השם. כשהגיע יום פקודה, ולא כס עושם קדושים לגי הריגה, when they came and they took רבו חונן, everyone was with him, they took him away, ביקש רבו חונן מן החיל הנאצי עם השמוי, כי הניח לו לסייס כמה מילות פרידה בפני בני החבורה. He asked the Nazi עם השמוי for permission just to finish what he had to say. Hudibe Menachos, b'kol ragur v'betuach. You have to know who Rabban was. I was zeiche to, he was a Talmid of Rav Chonin, Rav Leib Beren zeiche, Tzadich Lebroch, he used to come to South Africa every year. He used to live in Montreal. He was in Shanghai with Emilia Shiva. He was in Baranovich before, learned by Rav Chonin. And he escaped, whatever, Shanghai, eventually ended up in Montreal. But he had two daughters that lived in South Africa, that married Americans, and they lived in South Africa, and he used to come for the Montreal winter. He used to come to South Africa for 3 months. I was very close to him, and Motze Shabbos, there was a year, Michael Karp, whatever, he's got kids that live here. He used to have a Malava Malk in his house every Motze Shabbos, and Rabbi Baron used to come and speak and tell stories about Shanghai and about Rabbi Chon or whatever. Zoyche, many times, spent a lot of time with him, hearing all about these things. So it's a mod karovalai. He of course got out before this happened, but these were stories that there was witnesses. As I said, Volby was there when it happened. She was a young girl. He spoke calmly. He was so measured. Rabbi Chonin, every word, every step was complete. He was a measured human being. The kachoma. Rabbi Tetz, by the way, was related to Rabbi Chonin from his Rebbetzin. Rabbi Chonin was married to Rabbi Atlas's daughter. Rabbi Tetz is. Mother was descended from my Atlas. The family sheikhs there. The kachu amo, keshenira shebeshemayim bolchru bonu liyos kavonis atzibu shel klal Yisrael. In Shemayim, it appears that we've been chosen to be the community kavonis for klal Yisrael. Aleinu lachzor b'tshuva. We have to first do tshuva. Kedei sheni korban mekubala merutzelif neavim shemayim. First, you have to do tshuva. You want to be a korban that's acceptable in front of Hashem? You have to do tshuva. Aleinu lezeh shelo yalu alibeinu shum machshavos pigul v'psul apsis as a korban. And we have to be very careful. Can you imagine the Nazis standing there about to kill you? Presence of mind. You have to be very careful that there's no thought that will possel the korban. Lo nahara achrei midosav shel hakodesh baruch hu chas v'chelila. And not to chas v'chelila doubt Hashem's midas. The kol tova, אם הקבונס שלו נהיה קבונס טהרים, הם אלו אשר יצילו את אחינו וחסינו באמריקה. If our קבונס will be pure, if we'll give up ourselves purely, that sacrifice will be matzil all of Klal Yisrael in America. Our brothers and sisters in America will be spared the Holocaust in the schus of our kabonis. Himshel Rabbi Chana, Tisha B'Av Litoy Te'erev Anach Noimri. On Tisha B'Av I said to you, Ki ata ba'eish ha-tzasa u-ba'eish ha-ta'osid li-bnoisu. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed by fire, and it's going to be rebuilt by fire. That fire that's burning our bodies, that same fire that's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Kol Yehudi hilaveinu shel eish bebinyan habayis hashlishi. Every Jew is a brick of fire in building of the third Beis HaMikdash. Aleinu nema ki eilecha harognu kol hayom. Because for you we killed every day. We're not killed stam. The Jew gets killed, Rachman Islam, because he's a Jew. That's for Hashem. Nekabeles ha-yusurim ba'ava. We accept this yusurim with love. V'nochush b'schus sheyesh lanu yeis kabona shel klal Yisrael. And we feel elevated, we feel important in the merit that we were chosen to be kabonas for all of klal Yisrael. V'kachalchu kulam b'simcha l'mois al kiddush Hashem. And so they went, there's an eyewitness, and so they went besimcha to Daos Kiddush Hashem, ke Yitzhak Avinu shehalach l'akeda, ke Chosen hoilech l'kuposo. They went like Yitzhak Avinu, like a Chosen going into his chuppah. Rabbi Akiva, that's from somebody who not lived long ago. I knew people that learned by him. Just said, Mamash, Ruchon didn't live 1,000 years ago. It wasn't a Tana. Ruchon was driving around America. Kuasheni banu, as we said, a chuban v'horo shel yadut yeroipa, heima sheyatzilus yadut kol ha'elam, mitfir ruchonis u'mishor ruchonis. The Holocaust, once again, we're not saying why the Holocaust happened, we're just extracting, and I suppose he's allowed to talk about it because he was there. We're just extracting one aspect of an understanding. We don't understand the Holocaust, but to understand one aspect of it. That the destruction of Europe is what saved and gave rise and built the foundations for the resurgence of Yiddishkeit in the whole of America and the rest of the world, where there would have been nothing left. America, we know, around about Second World War time, spiritually wise, was anybody was there at the time? Your parents were there? You know what I'm talking about? It was a spiritual quagmire. There was nothing there. Rabbi Victor Miller, Rabbi Migdala said he davened that one of his kids at least should be showing me Torah mitzvahs. Rabbi Victor Miller, everyone of his kids are Kodesh Kadoshi. But he was davening, hopefully, he was hoping maybe one of his kids should be Shabbat Kodesh Mitzvahs. That's what a Churban America looked like. And look at it today. 70 years ago, when Aaron came to Lakewood, he didn't have a minion. The Satmar Rebbe barely had a minion. Today, how many Satmar courts are there? When the Satmar Rebbe was nifted, split into three, and then when he was nifted, split into, how many Satmar Rebbe's there are today? How many Satmar Rebbe's are there today? Three, four, gross. There wasn't a minion. Look, Lakewood, what was Lakewood? I told you why Robert Aaron went to Lakewood. You know why he went to Lakewood? Why he thought he was going to Lakewood. Yidden from New York, Lakewood's further south. For the south, so it's warmer than New York. So in the winter, a lot of people used to go to Lakewood for their holidays. So Rabbi Chanan worked out so that they're going to be rich. Rabbi Aaron made a cheshbon that in the winter a lot of Yidden will come, rich from Yidden or whatever, and he'll be able to take them and show them yeshiva or whatever, and he'll be able to raise money that way and be able to be maxed for yeshiva. You know, he was going to maxed for yeshiva in America in those days. How are you going to have your sporting yeshiva? Trying to explain to people in America, guys are going to sit and learn full time for 20 years. And you've got to pay for it. And trying to explain to some fat cigar smoking Hollywood mogul, you know, that he's got to support Torah. You know, what are you talking about? So he decided that's what he was going to do. So that's why he went to Lakewood. What happened? Somebody got up with a brilliant idea to start internal flights, cheap flights from New York to Miami. So if you can fly very cheaply to Miami, why would you go to Lakewood in the winter? And that destroyed the whole plan. Nobody ever came to Lakewood on holiday anymore. So, but that's why he went to Lakewood. There was nothing in Tulsa. Look at Lakewood today. Look at Lakewood today. Lakewood's almost in New York already. It got so big. It's meshuggah what's going on there. That was 70 years ago. What did Torah look like in Eretz Yisrael 40 years ago? What did Torah look like here 40 years ago? There was Torah here 50, 60 years ago. There's nothing. It was game over. Look at it today. What was that? That was built on the foundations of the Holocaust. Rabbi Chanan Aya b'America ulam u'pachat ki tiyeh gam sham shor. He was terrified there was going to be a show in America. Hurol afonav es izboilu l'sanayre es achuban aruchoni sheshor b'America shalai sayomim. He saw the spiritual chuban. He saw the Holocaust in America. Indians zehidir troi b'ragoyim achreni mayem yadut America. What's going to be with the Jews in America? When Rav Chanan was in America, there was a yid came in to see him. Rav Simcha, Rav Chanan's son, had just got a message from Rav Chanan to join him in America. Rav Simcha took his rebbetzin and she came to America to be with Rav Chanan. And Rav Chanan had told him, you're staying in America and you're going to build Torah or whatever, you're going to go to Los Angeles, and you're going to start a yeshiva in Los Angeles. Imagine Los Angeles. Never mind, New York. And Rav Simcha went down to Los Angeles, Rav Chanan. So Rav Simcha was sitting in the room, talking to Rabbi Chanan just told him, you're going to stay here and you're going to do it and everything, all the plans. This yid comes in and he says to Rabbi Chanan, I have a son learning in Voronezh. And I know what's going to happen and I want him to leave. But if I write and tell him to leave, he's not going to listen. But if the Rosh Yeshiva will sign on the letter that he agrees, yeah, then I know that he'll leave and he'll come to America and he'll save his family. So Rabbi Chanan said to him, does he have children? So he said, yes. He said, I can't sign. Can't come to America with children, he's not shy. Rav Simcha said he knew he was never going to have children, which he never did. If Rav Chanan just told him to come live in America, and Rav Chanan just told some guy, I'm not prepared to tell your kids to go, I'm not prepared to let your son come to America with children because they've got no hope. No hope. Rav Avigdor Miller didn't think he had any hope with his children. The only one who thought he could do it was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, you know that. You must read the letter that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's brother-in-law, the Torah of Rom, wrote him when he decided that he was staying in America. Torah of Rom was the Mashgiach of Slobodka. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky lived in Slobodka. He was a brother-in-law. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was the brother-in-law of the Torah of Rom. And he came to America and he decided he was going to stay in America. He met one kid in America that made him realize that it was shaykh to raise Bnei Torah in America. It was a family in America that was raising a family, and Yaakov Kamenetsky stayed with his family, and he saw in this kid that it was shaykh to make Torah in America, and he decided to stay in America. You must read the letter the Torah Sofram wrote him. If you've decided that you want to destroy your life and your wife's life, and you want to destroy your kids' lives or whatever, but he had one son that was in Slobodka at the time that he was taking with him, but leave this one with me, at least he should be a future for the family because there's going to be nothing left of you. He wrote a very, very harif letter. Very harif letter. In the meantime, the Torah Sofram was martyred in the Kovna Ghetto. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was saved, and he had enormous hakaras hatov to this kid. I can't remember his name. This kid that he saw in him that attracted to raise Bnei Torah in America said, saved my life. Had I not seen him, I would have agreed with my brother-in-law and stayed in America. He said, but Torah Sofram never saw this kid. Had he seen this kid, he would have stayed in Europe. He said, I would have agreed. But he said, I saw this kid and I knew from him attracted to raise Bnei Torah in America. And that's why he came and saved his life. Saved his life. הפריחה והשיקשוק הרוחניים שזכינו להם היום בכל העולם this enormous sprouting of Torah in the whole world כאשר אלפי אלפי בעלי תשובה בויכים מן השכר ושום מצוי מחצבו סוף thousands of בעלי תשובה running away from שקר and coming back to Hashem היסודים אלו בויים מכייך עושים כדי שמשלוחים לאיש where do you think that this בעל תשובה revolution came from? Is it only popped out of the sky? People gave their lives for that. Al Khuban Yadut Yeropa Kama Doakri. On the ashes of the destruction of Europe came a new generation, the last generation. Hadosh Yiskala Kabbalist Premashiv Tzitkenu Doagula. That generation that will merit to greet Mashiach Bezat Hashem. And we know that since the Holocaust, the world changed enormously. Enormous watershed between pre-Holocaust and post-Holocaust. The new generation. Yeah. We're witnessing a different kind of chuban today, but. You should see it quickly. I told you, Nicole, the Baron. I've been here 21 years already. It must have been before 21 years. We still was in the Koilo 25 years ago. So I was very vexed with it.